From the Tie Cats Audio Network, this is Tie Cats Today with Steve Milton.
It's Friday, April 26th. This is Tie Cats Today, and I'm Steve Milton. Joining me is the compact bundle of power who is Mark Leggio, the Tiger Cats place kicker who joined the club early last season after two seasons with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We're going to discuss, among other things, number one, last year's tumultuous season for Mark, who joined the team as an emergency replacement and then immediately became a mainstay here. Two, how a guy who's not tall packs such punch and consistency into that right leg. Three, his nickname, a perfect one for a kicker. Mark, fans who come to Tie Cat practices, and there's usually a few regulars every day, know that what you guys call the unit, that's the snapper, the punter, the place kicker, and the holder, have a special bond. You get out early to work on your craft so it can tick like a metronome. As of now, that's you, punter Corey Vedvik, and long snapper Gordon White. I'm not sure who the holder is going to be yet, but would you give us an inside peek at that group? How do the dynamics work, and how important are they?
Yeah, like that's, I'd say that's like the biggest thing. I had a few coaches kind of call it the battery. So it's like, you know, you can't get the electronics to work without the right battery, you know what I mean? So right. We're a really tight unit. You know, during season, we're basically doing a lot of stuff together. We're getting early reps in, like you said. We're talking to each other nonstop. It's usually us three in the meeting with the special teams coordinator, which is Paul Boudreau this year, and now obviously it was Jeff last year. It's just we're always basically together. You know, pre-practice, we get our little warm-ups in, whatever you have to do by yourself to get your body ready, and then probably like after like a 10-minute warm-up, we're already with each other, you know, like getting holds in, snaps in, throws for punting, like anything that can sort of help each other out. Because you obviously want to have everything on point and you don't want to be missing out on anything when game day comes, right? So, you know, Gordon with the long snapping, he has his routine. He'll do like short snaps, long snaps. And for me, I like doing like my kicking warm-up. So I'll go like no steps, one steps, full steps. Punting, Corey's got like the same kind of thing. He goes like one step, no step, or no step, one step, then full. Then we'll kind of kick back and forth to each other. And then like once we kind of get our own kind of stuff done, maybe we'll get some field goals in, and then we'll do like a whole punting session where like he'll punt and I'll even punt them back to him too, because I also have a little bit of, I do punting as well in my bag. So, you know, anything we kind of work on together, and it's like, we're basically such, we're like brothers in sort of sight. So if we don't live in the same house, but we're always together.
It's quite amazing to see, actually. And you're out there early and quite often, sometimes late. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Gordon gets the credit he deserves as a long snapper in this league. He's a perfect fit for those newer rules, which don't allow you to impede the center on the type of thing, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's, you know, I give him a lot of credit because the stuff that he does behind the scenes and, you know, like the work he puts when the doors are closed, or, you know, not a lot of people get to see that, right? And, you know, he might be on the field for maybe like a couple seconds at a time, but he's got a lot to do with like the blocking scheme on field goal, make sure the snap's perfect, you know, laces up for field goals and punts, so that the catch for Corey or the hold for Corey or whoever the holder may be is always perfect. But like even me and him, like we put a lot of work in behind the scenes, and he's got his craft pretty down packed, and you know, he's one of the best ones in the league for sure. And the work ethic that he has is just unbelievable.
And great downfield.
Yeah.
You can get downfield, and he knows where, he knows your leg.
Yeah.
Well, that's an underrated thing, isn't it? He knows your leg, plus he can get downfield. Like snappers never used to get downfield.
Yeah.
Because they get blocked by the line.
Yeah, he's got some speed to him too, and he's also a really big body, strong, working out all the time.
Right.
You know, he's kind of a threat going downfield, and you always feel his presence wherever the ball may end up as well.
Right. Rewinding slightly a bit here, Mark, it was a bit of a tumultuous season for you last year. You were coming off the 2021 Grey Cup victory over the Tie Cats. In 2022, you handled all three of the kicking chores for the Blue Bombers. But during last season training camp, the Bombers decided to go with former Tie Cat Sergio Castillo for place kicking and Australian Jameson Sheehan as a punter. Was that a shock after only a couple of years in the league? It had to be.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, when stuff doesn't play out with the way you think it's supposed to, it's a little bit of a shock because I thought I put up a pretty strong numbers in training camp. Even like with my punting strong suit too, like I thought I punted pretty well, and also I thought I kicked fairly well. You know, I had some games where things didn't really go my way, but I thought my punting numbers in like the field position battle was pretty big with the way that I was able to put the ball where I wanted to for punts. But you know, like obviously teams head in a different direction and you just kind of play with it the way that it goes. So I just kind of took it as like a learning curve. You know, the people in Winnipeg, the coaches, the players, like everybody there was phenomenal. And I'll always be grateful for them giving me a chance to start in the league and being drafted to Winnipeg. It'll always be a memory deep inside for me. But yeah, you know, like I just took it day by day after that. And then obviously I was very happy to get the call from Hamilton not too long after that.
Yeah, I was going to now talk about that a little bit. So that tumultuous sort of start to the season period continued when place kicker, that we're talking Seth Small here, suddenly left the team for personal reasons after game one, and the Ticats contacted you. And in August, you couldn't make this up. The punter, Bailey Flint, also left for personal reasons, and the Ticats traded Antonio Pipkin to Saskatchewan for Corey. So the unit was upset again. So can you walk us through how you guys got it back together? I mean, that's a lot of disruption to a 3-4-man group.
Yeah, so, you know, you're always going to be faced with some problems during the season, right? Everything's, like, not always going to be according to plan, and, you know, you just kind of work around it. And that was a big thing that Coach O kind of put out there, right? You're always going to be put things in front of your face, and you just got to deal with what you're given, right? Right. So with Seth Small leaving, obviously he was phenomenal when he was playing and he did really well. So for personal reasons, obviously I hope everything was okay with him and his family or whatever was happening with him. But then when I stepped in, you know, it was another opportunity for me to kind of show what I can do again, right? Stepped in, I did pretty well. I was happy with the way that I was kicking kickoffs, you know, and like the way that I was able to just become very comfortable with the Ticats unit, especially with Jeff, the special teams coordinator. And then obviously I was getting comfortable with Bailey Flint being my holder, and we're kind of getting work together. But then he had some personal reasons why he had to leave as well. So then for that week that he left, I was also going to do the punting for the week. So I was kind of working on I've been punting the whole time. I haven't really given it up or anything like that. So I was ready to do all three kicking jobs for that game of the week. And then eventually throughout the week, we finally find out that we traded for Corey. So then I had to get used to him holding for me for, I guess, like a day or two that he was here for practice during that week. So, you know, it's a little bit of a bumpy road. Like, you know, you never know what you're going to get thrown at. But, you know, I think we handled it pretty well with the group that we have and, you know, the way that we handled the situation.
Now, you've got a kicker's mentality, obviously, that way. It's like a relief pitcher's mentality that way. It's a goalie's mentality that you have to kind of put those things aside and, you know, be professional about it. So go back to when you were an amateur. You're from Woodbridge,
yeah.
And a lot of Ticat fans might not know. I mean, you're a hell of an athlete, and Ticat fans might not know that your early loves were soccer and hockey.
Yeah,
you were a multi-sport athlete, but that didn't involve, in the early days at least, gridiron football. You played double-A hockey, which in Southern Ontario is very high caliber. You're on Ontario's under-18 rugby team, if I'm not mistaken, and like a lot of kickers, you started with soccer. So, how did you get into football, and why?
So obviously, you know, being an Italian guy from Woodbridge, you know, you usually start with soccer. And that's the first thing you're kind of thrown into, right? Because, you know, that's just the way the Italian household goes. But I played soccer until I was about 15, 16. But along the way, I picked up hockey as well. That was just before I went into high school. And then once high school started, I played for my high school team in Green 9 and also playing OYSL soccer, so the highest competitive league you can for soccer. And then I was starting to get into double-A, so a little bit more competitive for hockey. But then also, obviously, I love being athletic. Sports are my thing. My gym teacher was a rugby coach at high school, and he said, you know, he saw me running with the ball, kicking the ball. He's like, hey, you're going to come play rugby. And I said, what's rugby? Never heard of that in my life, right? So he started explaining it to me, and the first thing he says, you know, one of the rules, you can't pass the ball forward. And I said, excuse me? He said, what kind of sport is that, right? So then obviously I said, I'm going to give it a try, go ahead. And then in grade 9, I loved it. I played like multiple positions. And then he told me you should try out for Ontario. So in grade 9, I went to go try out for Rugby Ontario, and I made the team, and I was the starting fullback for the A team. So I started doing that. And then obviously into grade 10, my buddy, one of my best friends, his dad saw me kicking the extra points of rugby, and he goes, why is this guy not playing football? And he's like, he just never tried, right? I wasn't the biggest guy, you know, I'm not the tallest guy out there, but he comes up to me after one of the games and says, hey, why don't you come play football? And I said, you know, like, your son's an O lineman. I'm, you know, he's a lot bigger than me. I don't know. I'll see how I can handle it. And I'm like, you know, I'm up for the challenge. I'll come out for sure. He's like, come kick for us. Come play any other position. And I'm like, for sure. No problem. So in grade 10, I played quarterback, receiver, running back, DB. I tried everything. And then obviously I stuck with kicking along the way. So grade 10 was really when I got introduced to football and kind of like how the sport works and everything like that. And then I still continued with hockey, rugby, and football throughout my way to grade 12, but I gave up soccer after grade 9. And then I played Team Ontario Rugby. I played OVFL football. I played Team Canada Rugby for U19. I played single-A hockey up until grade 12. And then after grade, I would say 11 and 12, I really stuck to and really focused on kicking because I knew that's what I wanted to kind of focus on for university. And then that's when the whole recruiting process for me going to Western started about grade 11, grade 12.
By that time, you've moved over to Bill Crothers over in Agent Court, right?
The
high school.
That's where I went to high school.
Right, the whole high school, all of high school.
Yeah, I stayed there from grade 9 to 12. We were actually the first full class to graduate grade 9 to 12 because when I came in there, they were only grade 11 and 12. So I was the first grade 9 class of Bill Crothers.
That did for the whole cohort, and that had an athletic accent, that school, right? It catered to high caliber athletes.
Right? That's basically what we were, like, the athletic, not like private, we were still public, but we were an athletic school.
Right. Now, from Bill Crothers, you went west to Western, set all kinds of school records, were all Canadian, both punter and a place kicker. Now, you're not a tall guy, so you don't have a lot of, as you mentioned yourself, you don't have a lot of natural leverage, but like Forges, Tristan Borges, you pack a lot of punch into that kicking leg. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, you know, the mechanics of your body. Obviously, you know, the longer guys, they get a little bit of a longer lever with their tall stature. But I think I just got adjusted to the way that my body moves a lot more. Like, for me, I like lifting a lot of weight. Like, I don't get super big, but I use that kind of to my advantage as well. Because, you know, kicking is obviously being very mobile and being able to be like quick twitch muscles kind of. But right. I also use that working out mentality to kind of strengthen that, and make a little bit of an equilibrium. So I want it to be strong and mobile. So right. I really think that played a big fact into it. Like, our strength coach at Western, Watson, was amazing. He really helped me out from going from not the strongest guy and coming out of high school. And I was basically like, I would do like the bench press test for training camp. And I did like one rep of 225. And then by my fourth year, I was benching 225 for 20 reps, right? So it's just like that big momentum build of just strength and everything throughout your course university. But also, you know, it plays big into the fact that I was training with Coach Daryl Wheeler, Coach Kick, and also Liram Hawalaru. They were a big stepping stone for where my kicking took off from, like, first university to year 4. So I really got to give them credit too, because I couldn't have done everything I did at Western without them.
Well, actually, you had anticipated my very next question. I don't have to ask it now. And that was about Liram and Daryl. They're unbelievable kicking gurus. So let's go to the stadium here. Over the years, I've had a lot of, well, let's characterize them as mildly heated discussions with many people in the TICAT organization about the wind tunnel, which the stadium has become since it was constructed to run north-south, partly because, believe it or not, of worldwide soccer regulations. Now, Ivor Wynne Civic Stadium used to run east-west and had crosswinds, which posed their own problems, of course. How do you deal with that head-to-head wind at Tim Hortons Field, which is particularly, I would say, almost violent later in the year?
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, I've had a couple of big games at Tim Hortons Fields, and you know, like the Vanier Cup, we got some nice weather in 2017, actually, so it wasn't too cold. But again, like the wind, it just creates like a big factor of the game, right? So, and then even like the 2021 Grey Cup, that game was a hurricane. Like, there was a wind all game. Like, it was nonstop. And I think that played a really big factor into like which side of the ball you got to start the half and end the half, right? So It's kind of like a day-by-day thing because, you know, one day you can have it going north-south and the next day you can kind of have it swirling and switching throughout the day. So you just kind of got to play with what you're given once practice or once the game starts, right? So some practices I go out there and it's kind of chill, it's calm. But then by the time we start the kicking part of practice, it just picks up. It's like a tornado just hit. It's like you can never really judge what's going to happen. So it's just like kind of, it's like golf. You kind of like pull out a different iron, you pull out your driver, you pull out your pitching wedge, like something like that, right? So sometimes you might be aiming right down the middle. Sometimes you might be aiming like you're missing and you know the wind's going to bring it right back to the post, right? Because I've had a few kicks in there where it feels great off my foot. It goes right down the middle and then you see the ball travel and it just heads hard to the sideline. So, you know, it's something that you just kind of ease of mind. You can't get too frustrated. You got to stay really calm-minded and you just kind of play with it as the game goes on, right? So I would say you just kind of go out there. My big thing is go one for one. So you just kind of face with what you're given. And, you know, with the snap count and the time clock, you kind of like, you tell your snapper, hey, there's a little bit of a gust, like hold it for a second. And then like once they feel it die, then you snap it. So it's just game management, you know, like with the group that we have, we all understand each other with how to handle the different win situations.
Well, you I don't know, what are you, psychic or something, man? Because you had anticipated my other question there, which was, and you had great success here even before you got here as a Ticat, both with the Vanier Cup win for Western, which actually shocked me that when I looked the numbers up, it was the first one in 24 years or something, which I think would come as a surprise to most people. And then you won the fans here over in a real hurry. Everybody was upset because your arrival was kind of like Seth's arrival was here. It kind of felt like it stabilized things. You made your first 9 field goals as a Ticat, and your 15 points, I think it was, were really the difference in the Ticat's first win of the year last year over Ottawa, including a 50-yarder. You were as close to automatic as you can be from 40 yards and in. And for the longest time, you actually had missed fewer field goals than you had converts, which is an anomaly, I assume. So what are your goals for this year?
Yeah, like my big thing is just, you know, increasing my numbers every year and just every time I'm on the field, just putting that 3 points on the board or putting the ball where I need to put the ball for the team. I really think like coming in last year, obviously I'm very grateful for the Ticats bringing me in and giving me, you know, that opportunity to show what I can do again. And I just, you know, like, I think it's just like the group of guys and the coaching staff that we have just made like the transition, like very comfortable, like from meeting the medical staff to the coaches, to the players, and especially the equipment guy, Drew, he's just like, it was so like bang on, like everyone knew what I needed, just made it like the most easy transition I could ever imagine. So like starting from the beginning, getting the medicals done, starting and then going to the first practice was just like a smooth transition. And it's just like, it was almost like I'd been there forever. It's kind of weird. And you know, it's my big thing is like, I'm still young and I just want to keep improving as, you know, the years go on and eventually hopefully become one of the best there was in the league. You know, like every kid's dream growing up was playing pro football, and I'll always be grateful to be able to play in the CFL. And I've just been a big fan of the CFL growing up.
Well, it's funny. A lot of our CFL fans might not understand this, and certainly casual fans won't. But when you say you're still young, you're coming actually into the prime ages now for kickers who can play a lot longer. And of course, you'd get experience and all of those kinds of things. So now finally, Mark, I realize this springs from the athlete's tendency to make diminutives out of their teammates' last names. But you have the perfect name for a kicker.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. So tell us what that is. What is that nickname?
So the nickname is very easy, and I just keep it simple. It's Legs, but instead of an S, I use a Z, you know, for a little bit of spice.
For a little bit of spice. Perfect way to end this. Go on back out and enjoy this beautiful day, Mark, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah,
thanks for viewing and listening. Thanks for viewing and listening, everybody. It's great knowing that you're out there. Tune back in for Monday's episode, which will, of course, preview Tuesday night's much-anticipated CFL draft. This has been Ticats Today, and I'm Steve Milton.
This has been Ticats Today with Steve Milton. Catch it on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.